why there's so many like amazing designers out there, why can't I be one of them, like I've got amazing work, I like my work and blah blah blah. I was like, well, that's why you have to sort of like get yourself involved with a bit of a history, with a bit of like what's going on with the like what happened before and what's going on now, is because not just you make the hero, it's the time makes the hero as well. Yeah. You have to be the exactly right time to be somebody.
Mm. Yo, sucker, you got a big mouth. With my little titties and my fat belly, I could tell your man if you finna let me, it's a guarantee that he won't forget me. My body little, my soul is heavy. My little titties be booking cities all around the world. They be fucking with me. I'm a Calvin Klein model, come and get me. Set the resi up, don't be fucking with me. My little titties are so itty bitty, I go locomotive, chitty chitty, bang bang. Gold hoops and a name chain. 10 boots are like 4 rings. Missy Elliott can't stand the rain. You lame, stay in the same games. Little titties, not so damn pretty. Staircase in a crack filly. Little titties in a fat kitty. Big pants and some stuffed shoes. Bop a bow, Blue's Clues. With my little titties and my fat belly. My little titties and my fat belly. My little titties and my fat belly.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of the Mr. Baby Podcast. This week we sat down with a friend of ours, Otto Sum, who's a fashion designer here in Shanghai. And he told us a little bit about going to school in London and then coming back to China and, you know, starting his creative career here, and how he thinks that Chinese pop culture and fashion and everything right now is booming here, but not quite broken out of China, but is definitely coming up in the next few years and definitely in the next decade going to be the next big cultural powerhouse. So he's got some interesting stories and insight into that. So enjoy. Oh, and of course, check out his Instagram, Otto Sum, OttoSom, to see his work and inspiration and check him out. All right, here it is. And if you finna blow my high, then I'ma punch you again. With my little titties and my fat belly, my little titties and my fat belly, my little titties and my fat belly. My little titties and my fat belly, my little titties and my fat belly, my little titties and my fat belly. All right, Otto. We're here with Otto. So go ahead and tell us, I guess, just the story of Otto.
Well, where do I begin, if you've got time? Well, my name's Otto, and I'm from China. I was raised in Nanjing, which is like an hour and a half on the train from Shanghai, really close. And but I left China when I was 19, 20-ish, to go to UK, to go to London to study. And that was a fun experience, and I only got back like 2 years ago. And back in London, I studied women's wear design, like in London College of Fashion, which was great. And that's what I'm still doing at the moment as well, like as a work and stuff. And, sorry, I feel a bit lost.
It's all right. I mean, normally you are actually our first Chinese guest. Chinese-born Chinese guest. So you don't have quite the same story of how did you get to China, which... I'm sure most people hear when people ask, like, what's your life story? It is how did you get to the point that you got to China?
Right.
So you went the opposite. So I guess when did you know you wanted to go into fashion?
I think I own all that thanks to my mom, actually. Mm. I know it sounds a bit like, you know. And, when I was a kid, when I was growing up, like, I feel like I lived in a sort of, like, a, quite liberal family, in a way, because I grew up with my mom, mostly, and she is just, like, she doesn't really, she's not, like, a typical sort of, like, a Chinese mom, sort of, like, on your business all the time, and it'd be, like, you have to have good grades in school or whatever, and, but at the same time, which is interesting because my dad, even though I don't talk to him that often, like back in the childhood, but he is like completely opposite. Okay. Like he's really strict because he, He was in the Air Force before. Okay. Like, he's one of those, like, military man, like, with a really strict rules.
Exactly. Very strict.
There you go. There you go. I get the point. So, yeah, that was quite interesting, like, how I grew up. Because even though I don't really have much contact with him when I was younger, but then they still got that sort of, like I've started thinking about it now, like, recently, obviously. Like, I still got that sort of, like, impact from him.
Yeah.
Every now and then, like, he's like, I don't know, like, it's just like a mixture of, like, sort of like completely different ways of, like, educating your kids, like, in my family. Yeah. So I sort of, like, grew up in that sort of, I've got, like, bit of, like, different characters in a way. Like, it sounds a bit dodgy, but then, but that's how you deal with your problems when you're a kid. Like, you don't know how to face it directly.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, so you figure, like, it's easier if you, like, play different roles, like, in front of, like,
so you feel like his influence, it's not so much, like, you'll see you are that conservative, but more, like, that influenced you to kind of go the other way. Does that make sense?
I thought, like, I've always been, like, a bit more, like, in a sort of, like, the new generation of the Chinese, like, a bit more liberal.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't deny the fact that my dad actually got, like, a great impact on me at a certain level as well. And, which is quite hard sometimes because, I mean, that's why you ask me, like, why, like, when did I decide, like, do fashion and all that sort of things. Like, you, like, it, even nowadays, like, the parents, like, in China, not even just in China, like, in some other countries as well, like, they always think, like, the creative industry is not, like, the real job in a way. Like, they're just like, you're just playing around, like, this is like your interest, but it's not like a lifetime career.
I feel like I hear that a lot from people who are in creative, is, you know, sometimes they don't get into it till later in life because they're just like, I never realized that's a option. Like, that was, you know,
it's
like,
always,
so many
battle.
People are so creative, and it's like, no, I never went to art school, like, you can't just go to art school. It's like,
well, that's the stories that I've heard after I arrived, like, in London, like, years ago. And that was the time that I realized that I was actually, I've got this sort of, like, freedom in my own sort of way, that my mom actually chose, well, she didn't choose it for me, but then she suggested, saying, like, well, you've always been good at drawing, you always love to draw, and I always buy you Vogue things that were, like, free, like, why don't you just do something about that? And that was the time I was thinking to taking a course in a Chinese university, doing, like, geography or something. I can't remember exactly what was I doing, but I think that was leading the way to be, like, you know, like, big, like, going to, like, a cave and looking at the cave paintings or whatever. But that was my interest back then. And I was really good at that, by the way. And, I know.
Cave exploration.
Not specifically, but, that, yeah, in that general area.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, but then that was the time that I started to realise maybe, like, that's why I was into that sort of, like, geographic or, like, historical, that sort of, like, events or the new, like, the things that I read before are all about that. It's about, like, the culture bits rather than, like, you know, like, the science students and stuff like that. I'm never, like, I'm never good at that. So it's like, well, that's probably the time that for me, like, to take, like, to move a bit forward.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know exactly what I was thinking. It was just like, great. That was actually a good idea. Yeah. I didn't even know there was, like, a proper course.
Yeah,
and I
didn't,
I feel like that at some point I just didn't feel like my parents will support me to do that as a lifetime career for the rest of my life, obviously. And I had, like, to be honest, like, I had a bit of a battle with my dad at very first beginning, but then he caved. Great. And as always, because I fight really hard.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, it's fine. But then, I mean, I really appreciate the fact that my mom sort of told me, if you want to do this, then definitely go to one of the best schools in the whole world.
Yeah, I just think that's a thing that, I mean, looking to my future, like, I always think, like, and I've heard other people say, it's like, the best parents who support the creative, part of that is you can go into creative, but, like, it, you need to realize it's still a job and a career, so, like, don't just, like, ah, I'm going to paint. It's like, no, if you want to do that, be the best at that, like,
You're
you need to do that. Like,
definitely.
You can't just, like, be, it's like a full-time hobby.
Exactly.
Like, no. If you want to make it a career, you have to make it a career.
Right.
Like, that needs to be your job.
Exactly. Like, I feel like, even though, like, none of my family, like, everybody in my family, like, they don't do, like, art or, like, being, like, creative in a way. Sorry, Mom. but, like, my mom, both my parents, like, they've got their own hobbies, like, they're into, like, sort of, like, music and art, even though they're not being, like, professionals.
Yeah.
But then I was raised in an environment, like, my wake-up call every morning, I'm not even lying, like, it was, like, some classical music or even, like, just whatever, like, it was, like, indie pop or whatever, like, mom into.
Yeah.
My dad is into, like, really classical music and stuff. Then that's how I, like, woke up every single day when I was a kid. I feel like, even though, like, it doesn't sound like anything, but then I feel like it definitely had some sort of, like, impact on me.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's just having creativity around you.
Yeah, like, like, mom is really into, like, literature, that sort of things as well. But at the same time, like, she's really, like, into, like, different kind of books. Like, even though she's not, like, specifically into, like, the books of, like, art history or whatever. But then she started, like, buying me books and I would just start reading them. Mm-hmm. And I found this quite comforting in a way because I went through, you know, the family, got, like, what they call the family trauma, like they got divorced, and they sort of like try to help me to get out of that shadow in their own way. And I feel like I sort of like follow through. By just picking up bits by bits of what I like and by doing like a bit of drawings or that sort of thing. I think that's how it started.
Did you pick up actually studying fashion here, or was it not till you went to London?
I actually started. Okay, that was actually quite fun. It sounds really gay as well. Because my mom
I was about to ask you because for people who don't know Nanjing, I've been there once or twice.
Right,
it's basically like a second tier city.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, you'd have like a Baltimore or a DC, whatever. So I don't know. You know, is there much culture of fashion there influenced?
I would have to say, Nanjing is definitely a city full of cultures, obviously everyone heard of it, like, even from, like, it's been, like, capitals for, like, decades, like, for, like, hundreds of years, like, for, like, different, like, dynasties or that sort of things. Obviously, it's, like, it's got its own heritage in a way, but in terms of, like, the contemporary sort of art, like, art influence or like contemporary like movements, it doesn't necessarily get involved that much. I have to say that. And I mean the city that I remember that I grew up in was kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say rigid, but it's kind of dated in a way. Like everybody, like it's a lovely city,
much more of a business city,
and it's full of like this sort of like, as I said, like the heritage, like from the old countries or like from the culture, but at the same time, you don't feel that sort of like the excitement.
Yeah.
And that's quite conflicts to like doing fashion because even though you do draw back from like inspirations, like from the history or from your heritage or whatever, but at the same time, it's something like looking forward.
You still need output.
Yeah.
Or like a.
And I definitely didn't get that, like, when I was living in Nanjing. Mm-hmm. And which is not, like, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but that's just different, I guess. But I'm definitely thankful for the fact that, because I lived in that city, so I sort of appreciate the fact that the importance of history, the importance of your heritage, and the importance of, there's nothing brand new in terms of, like, doing designs and stuff. It's always based on something.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's still going on with my aesthetics as in now as well. Like, I don't want to just do something because, I mean, obviously, I do something, like, I do think something of a bit because I'm just like, I like it. Like, people also go, well, like, why'd you put that there?
Mm-hmm,
I was like, well, that's just my, like, insect. Like, I just, instinct, like, I just know, like, what to do. But at the same time, it's, like, I found it's probably because, like, I sort of, like, spending a bit more time, like, on reading or even, like, looking at photos or, like, paintings or the research a bit more in depth,
yeah,
rather than just look at the appearance. And I feel like that's what I got from my hometown.
You got a much stronger base, historical base.
In a way, yes.
So you decided London. Was that just, you know, was there any reason for that, or?
That might sound a bit stupid, honestly. But then, obviously, like, I was just saying, like, my mom suggested me, like, why don't I look at her a bit, like, doing a bit art. Like, she didn't really, like, specifically saying, like, fashion, but she sort of, like, mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, looking at all the areas, and, like, I was like, what exactly am I going to do if, like, I want to do, like, be, like, an art student or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, I'm probably going to do fashion. So she was like, yeah, well, look at, like, all the schools, like, abroad, like... Mm-hmm. To see, like, what's going on there, because, you know, like, because, like, we've got this certain educational system in China, so it doesn't really allow you to, you don't really have the time, to be honest, like, to look at what exactly you want to do in the future, like, what you do, like, is stay in classes, like, focus on their books and stuff, and that's it. So that was the time that I was actually quite nervous to look at, like, all those different things, like, outside of the world. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, obviously, like I said, like, I lived in, like, quite, like, like a family of freedom. Mm-hmm. Like, we used to, like, go out and travel and see things.
I was going to ask you, did you travel much before you went to school abroad?
I mean, sort
of. Out of the country?
Sort of. That was, like, way back.
Yeah.
Before the horrific period of, like, doing high school in China, because obviously you haven't got no fucking time, like, doing something. Yeah. And it was, like, but then before that, like, I think it was before 14, like, I feel like we've got, like, family trips every single year.
Yeah, which is a set thing. It's funny you bring that up, because I always think about that, because me and Beryl, we haven't traveled much through Europe. I haven't been there in my adulthood at all.
Right.
That I can remember. And it's funny because, like, we've traveled Asia a ton. And I have no major, like, desire to go there. But I would love to, because I think the times I've been there was always as a kid, like, 12 and 13, on, like, family trips of sorts.
Right.
And I feel like it's, like, usually I was, like, 12 or 13, which is a horrible age, because, like, now I'm just, like, a teenage brat who, like, doesn't want to do anything, like, didn't even want to go in the first place, and then you're with your family, and it's just, like, it's probably such a different experience to, like, go as a person, like, person. It's like, oh, you're actually experiencing it, not just, like...
I know, like, I always envy, like, I feel like it was quite the same, because I've never done, like, sort of, like, a solo trip, or just with my... like, same age friends.
Yeah, exactly.
When I was, like, in my teenage.
Yeah, it's like, oh, these cities are probably much more enjoyable when you're, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can enjoy yourself.
I know, like, I always have people, like, when I see, like, kids walking the streets, I'm like, where are their parents? It's like, well, they're just, like, living their lives, aren't they? But, yeah, I did, to be fair, like, I did a bit of trouble, like, compared to, like, I mean, that was more than 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the time, like, when China is not, like, as open.
Yeah.
Obviously, it worked, like, it was going somewhere, but it's not as open. Like, people starting to realize, and you can actually go, like, a family trip, like, abroad.
I think that goes back to you saying, I mean, again, a lot of people don't, like, realize China, I mean, even 10 years ago, is still, like you just said, very enclosed.
Yeah.
Like, you had fairly liberal parents, at least your mother, who, like, would say, let's travel to different cultures, you know, so...
She stood us, by the way.
Like, of course.
She sort of, like, expanded her holidays, like, nowadays. And she's like, yeah, I'm doing 2 trips every year now. I was like, what about your job? I was like, well, darling, I don't even care now.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many places, like, once you started, you just can never go back.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's just intrigued.
I mean, I had a friend
everything.
Recently, well, I guess a couple years ago now, but, like, he had an anniversary coming up something, and he was like, oh, we have an anniversary vacation we're taking, like on Facebook, like, can you guys suggest, like, good cities to visit, and, like, you know, in, like, the U.S. and I, like, my only response was, nowhere in the U.S. like, leave the fucking country, like, of course, like, places like, you know, Tennessee or wherever, like, they're, like, great cities and they have a lot of fun, but it's just, like, stop, like, leave, like, especially if you haven't before, like,
right,
go somewhere that's not American or Canadian. Like, please. Like,
that's why
we're not a resort. Like, you know, like, go to a fucking a broad city.
Yeah. Well, I actually had this interesting little conversation with my mom, like, a couple of weeks ago. I was just like, well, she just came back from Spain for, like, a one-month holiday, which I'm really jealous of. And she came back with all the tan and was like, oh, so how was it? Like, why did you... Like, I was actually quite intrigued because, like, for the past couple of years, like, she's always been to, like... And she always decides to, like, go to Europe or, like, some other countries instead of, like, you know, visiting China and different cities. It's like, we still got, like, loads of places that we've never even been to. Like, why don't you, like, choose, like, you know, some Chinese cities and stuff? I was like, well, that's just my general plan because I can still stand here and walk in and, you know, like, do all the hiking and everything when I'm in my 50s.
Yeah.
And that I'm just going to take advantage of that, like, by going somewhere further.
Yeah.
But once I'm turning into my, like, 60s or 70s, I probably can't even walk.
Yeah, I've took a...
Then that's the time for, like, do, like, a national visit.
My parents, they visited here last year.
Right.
And they're both, you know, in their 60s. And, like, after here, they were doing a whole, like, world trip because they both just retired.
Right.
And they did, like, Australia and New Zealand. And they came here, did Southeast Asia. And they wanted to go, like, Angkor Wat. And I remember the first...
In a row?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And, like, I remember when we visited there, I was like, you guys would love it. You have to go. But I would go soon. It's a lot of walking, a lot of hiking. And, like, I have another good friend whose dad, like, he's a beach bum. Like, always at the beach every weekend. Like, blah, blah. And I was like, what? You never want to travel? Like... outside. He's like, well, I'll do that when I'm older. It's like, you won't be able to. Like, you'll do that when you're younger. And then when you can't walk, like, then you go to the beach all day.
Yeah. But even for, like, the trips like that, like, that was the rest of the conversation with my mom, by the way. And I was just like, and she was just like, well, you should go. Why are you, you know, like, you've got time, like, you're making some money, like, you need to take holidays to go see, like, the rest of the world. And I was like, yeah, I agree. But then... But then, like, I've got plenty of time, obviously. Yeah. But it's like, but she was just like, well, even the trip, like, I planned, like, to Europe, like, all the way through Europe and everything. Like, we can't do exactly everything that says in Lonely Planet.
Yeah.
We can't do the hiking. We can't do, like, go to the dodgy little links, like, to check out, like, the cool clubs and stuff. Well, you still can. And then, like, the trip that she had, it was quite, like, well, obviously, like, she's quite, like, chill out and luxurious, like, that's what they do at their age. But she sort of, like, realized the fact that even though, like different generations go to the same place, they have the same trip, they definitely go to different places.
Yeah.
And that's the most exciting part. It's like, just take advantage of your time now and then redo the visit later on.
Yeah, that's a big thing as well. It's like,
and you're going to appreciate it even more once you've been there. You know where you've been to, and that's part of, like, building up your memories and everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even, like, a big generation gap, but it's very interesting when you visit a new, like, abroad, a big city.
Yeah.
And the first time you go, you do, like you said, like, the Lonely Planet, like, go see this tower. And
I know.
Blah, blah, blah. And then, like, the second or third time, you get to, like, the other shit, like, the fun stuff that's just like, all right, got the tourist stuff out of the way.
Right.
It's like, then it's, like, a whole different city, like, you know.
Yeah. Like, even with that, like, it's quite funny, like, because my mom just, like, it's been, like, a couple of years, like, she's been traveling and everything. And she's like, I really, like, I still can't figure out, like, how exactly did you go to London on your own when you're, like, that young and not knowing anyone, I still survived. I was like, well, first of all, I went there for uni, so obviously you can make friends, like, instantly and everything. But at the same time, like, it's definitely, like, it's a different thinking from, like, different generations because it is... I mean, I hate when people, like, portray China or, like, the Chinese as in the way they portray it, like, decades ago. It's definitely different now, but then still, from the last generation, they sort of, like, obviously they have, like, and the I mean, their language skills to begin with, like, is sort of, like, a bit poor in a way. Like, they've definitely got communication issues, all that sort of things, and so they got their own way of checking their apps and even have that little translating little apps, like, showing people and asking their ways and stuff, which is quite fun. But then it's so different of in terms of, like, experience, like, the local culture and everything. And that's what I explained to my mom as well. I was like, well, there is differences. Like, there are differences. Like, Even for like different people from the same generation, because it like depends on what you do. Like for me or my some of my friends, we're definitely gonna go check, like look on Google and say, where the cool, you know, the bookshops are, or like there's any like little museum or galleries that's quite underground, that sort of like cool things going on, which not necessarily is on the formal schedule go to say. And but that's the exciting part, and that's quite fun, and that and I feel like that's what you have to do, like we especially when we work in like creative industry and stuff, to just get to see as much as you can, and
So you knew you wanted to, I guess, get out of Asia.
We're back on that.
So choosing, were you looking just at Europe, just at England, or at America? Did you look at like other, I mean, because for fashion, obviously you have Paris as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you speak French, that might have been a barrier, but there's also Japan and Korea and stuff.
No, joking. Well, for sure, I would have to say, like, I was so certain about the fact that I'm going to leave home for sure, and I want to get away as far as possible. And surprisingly, my mom is on the same page with me. Mm-hmm. She's like, just go out.
Yeah.
You have to go out. Like, you can't stay here and being like, it's because, well, I guess, it's definitely like, I feel like I've been repeating that for like hundreds of times, but I definitely feel like when, like your like everybody's parents, like their family, their values and everything have like a huge impact on their children. And I got that idea from my mom because like she used to love like reading like the foreign, like the novels, like from like the foreign writers or authors and whatever, like when she was a kid.
Yeah.
And that was even eight, like even like in the, like, I want to say, what, 70s? Was it 70s, okay. Around that age, sorry. And, but that was more difficult, like, even more difficult, like, back in, like, in China, in that time. Like, everything was, like, translated in a certain way, or that sort of things. But she wanted to do that, like, as a career, as in, being a translator or whatever, like, for books and everything. Yeah. But she didn't manage to do that because, you know, the pressure from her mom. And she wanted me to just explore as much as possible.
Yeah.
Obviously, if I want to.
Yeah.
And I did. And that was the first idea that I was like, okay, I want to go out. And but I didn't just look at the UK, obviously. What I looked at was just, basically, I was like really focused on just looking at schools and everything. So I've got ideas, I've got some amazing schools in New York as well. I mean, obviously there's some schools in Paris and there's things going on in London. Like, I was looking everywhere. I think the reason why I decided to go to London is because, first of all, like, from the information that I gathered back then, I found it's really interesting. Like, it's really, like, exciting.
Yeah.
It's because, like, even though, like, London is still, like, one of the biggest like fashion venues like in the whole world, obviously out of the four, and but it's the most upcoming one, as in like it only dropped like later on, and it's always been there, and it's mostly for like the minor brands or like the more like independent brands, which is more for like the younger people, I guess, and it definitely gets like more attention in a way that sort of like attracts like the younger generation, I think. Even though, like Paris has always been a bit, like, more glamorous, extravaganza. Yeah, like
traditional.
That sort of thing, yeah. That's
like the major houses.
Yeah. Like, I didn't want to put that in that word, but thank you.
You want to disrespect all of the Paris fashion scene.
Not in the real channel, no. Parle-moi.
But I can see that. It's, like, mostly the big houses.
Yeah.
And then... yeah, I would guess like New York is a mix,
but it's
like very saturated.
I was actually looking at Parsons, but at the same time, I don't know whether I should say that, but then I was just like, well, if I go to New York, I get the States. But if I decide to go to London, I get the whole Europe.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely into, like, the whole culture in there. There's so many things going on.
Yeah.
And not even, like, going on. It was... so many things happened there as well. Mm-hmm. I was just like, well,
that's one of the things that, like, over the years I've been like, man, now I actually do want to go to Europe. Like, during university and stuff, I didn't care at all. But, like, now it's, like, just even the concept, it's so basic of, like, in the U.S., yeah, you can travel state to state,
mm-hmm.
but, like, imagine if, I mean, states are, quote-unquote, different from each other, but, like, they're still America, but, like, imagine, like, going to, like, another state, and it's, like, not only slightly different, but, like, totally different.
It's different like, languages.
It's, like, yeah, like, England to France is, like, going from, like, New York to Connecticut or whatever.
I mean, it's a train away, but then it's, like, 2 hours on the train. Like,
it's so easy to travel, to be in a totally different world.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was generally, like, the idea, like, how I choose, like,
bang
London.
For your buck, like, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think that's why I chose London to go there. Mm. And, but I was looking at colleges at the same time, and, I mean, that was sort of, like, I still got that sort of, like, a pressure from my mom, like, I don't want to disappoint her in a way, like, even though, like, she definitely, like, doesn't, like, she cares, but then she doesn't really say that, but you can feel that from your parents at the same time, which is really weird. But then I was just like, okay, so I have to look at, like, the rank of the universities as well, like, I want to go to the best, obviously, like, everyone does. And, so I just started planning everything without knowing anything at all.
Yeah.
Which was so strange.
Yeah. Were you able to visit at all before you went there?
I did, actually. Yeah. There was a great summer that I did, like, right... I think there was a year after high school, I think. There was, like, a summer camp, like, summer holiday, like, to visit, like, UL, University of Arts of London. And that was actually fun. That was the time that I decided that I want to go to this uni. And because it's like a massive university with different like colleges and campuses, like campus and everything. And I mean, besides that, I really enjoy the sea itself. I think another reason why I went to London is because, like, when I was a kid, like, me and two of my best friends, we used to go to this place in Nanjing, and it's near the, what's it called? It's near the old university, like, district, near, like, Shanghai Road, that area. And they used to have this, I think there were two, actually, record shops.
Okay.
They sell, like, obviously those, like, DVDs in a little pack, paper pack. And they had, in the back room, obviously, it was... I think it was illegal in a way, and but not the adult section.
Okay.
Just to make that clear.
Yeah.
And but it was like the records, like the CD, the actual albums and CDs that imported to China.
Like stuff.
Yeah, but as garbage, as trash. Oh. So it's got like a punched in a hole, like in the
in the CD
and the costumes. Like it's because like they can't sell them. It's only because they want to sell. They're just dumping trash, like, to China, basically.
Interesting.
It was fun. It was so fun, because I can't see... Like, it's still going on
now. Of course, China just like, we'll take them and resell them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was so funny, because we had this... obviously, we didn't know what was going on, like, back then. But all we knew is... these are the, like, the C albums. I think we were, like, 14 or something. Mm-hmm. And we were, like, looking for music and online and everything. But then, even back then, like, you can't really see anything. Like, I think that was the time that Google is still, like, going on.
Yeah.
Like, in China.
It's
it was new. Band. Yeah. So, like, we were, like, looking everything online. But then, imagine, like, when you, like, in a real life, you can see the actual album that you're listening, like, you was listening to, like, online. You would be like, this is unreal because... It's not, like, officially imported, like, going to Chinese market or whatever. This, like, it's that taboo thing that really, like, attracts us.
Yeah, it's like, hidden gems.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And so that was how it started, because most of the bands that we listened to was, like, British.
Yeah.
And I was really into, like, the indie bands, like, especially, like, the girl bands.
Yeah,
and
that's interesting. Actually, there was a documentary that came out a few years ago called... but it's like, You Thought We'd Forgotten, and it was about Cambodia, and like the multiple wars and like Khmer Rouge and all those things Cambodia went through, but it's all around the Cambodian music scene because they had this big like pop music scene in like the, I guess it'd be like 60s and 70s, and it's all these like very like lounge singer, like not like way before like punk, but like rock and roll. So it's like Cambodian rock and roll,
right?
Like 60s and 70s. But it all started when like somebody had a cousin who brought back a record from France, and it became this like just these like this one person who brought back like, or somehow like somebody imported these French 60s rock albums to like, you know, some city in Cambodia, and it's like that just like spawned this whole like,
I know, but see, that really excites me.
Yeah.
And that's I think that's another reason why I got this really good like sort of fascinating idea of lives in London or like that sort of like field in general, like the creative field or like the art and the music field, like in London in general.
I don't know if we talked about it in here, but we've talked about it recently with people. I mean, me and Beryl come from New York, so we know New York pretty well. But there's still so many people who like New York is so big, and London, of course, in music, or like England and New York in music and movies, that people like grow up and like they only knew New York from those pop culture references. Right. So like to them, it's such this like beautified like place.
Yeah.
And when they get there, it's like, oh my God, this is the place where like all these bands are from.
I know.
Like, we just want to go there. Like,
this is where he died in that hotel room.
Yeah, you just picture yourself living like, oh, I'm going to meet the person from that scene and like be in that scene.
Yeah, like, I know. But yeah, like it's funny that you mentioned that because there's so many people asking me, like, once I arrived in London, that was for that summer, and they were just like, is it exactly how you imagined it?
Yeah.
Like, when you were kids or whatever? I was like, well, I've never really portrayed it, like, in my head, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I just knew, like, it's a fun place.
Yeah.
I want to go. I want to check it out because we don't really, like, I don't know, like, for some reason, just never really looked at, like, the British culture, like, even back then. And there was a time that I actually arrived, I started to get really intrigued. And, but that's a fun fact that I've heard. I'm not really sure that we've heard that of a term. I don't even know whether it's a correct term, but it's called the Paris Syndrome. Oh. Okay, so basically there was an idea, sort of, not created, but happened to the Japanese from, like, last generation.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, they were, like, they're still, like, one of the strongest of our countries. Like, lots of people are going travelling, like, even of way earlier than, like, a Chinese does. And, they went to, like, obviously they have this idea of, like, Paris being, like, the romantic city in the whole wide world.
Mm-hmm.
So always have this, like, really perfect illusion of Paris being really beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's so friendly. And at every little corner, you can just take a photo with your lover.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole bunch of people went there. I think there was, I think the study was started, like, in the 70s or something. Mm-hmm. And then the Japanese started, like, moving there, even for, like, for good, like, sending lives there and everything. And then the time that they realized, like, that Paris is not exactly the same as they how they imagined it. It's, like, the dog poop on the streets and the people, like, smoking on the street as well. And then they were just starting to have this sort of, like, syndrome of, like, missing home and this, like, destroyed dreams or whatever. They start to have like this kind of sort of like depression.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really like, that was a fun term that I read about like a couple of years ago. I was like,
I think in most major cities, well, I would guess like at least
it's a major letdown in a town.
Yeah, well, it's like, yeah, I guess it depends on how you picture it. Because I picture New York being very similar to people, or even LA, like with Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. It's just like Paris. It's like, no, it's not all just outdoor cafes where people are like,
I know,
like, eating baguettes and sipping on, like, wine. Like, yeah, it's a real fucking,
like,
city.
Like, everyone's so posh with their accent.
It's like, they romanticize it too much, but I'm sure if you come from, especially a small town,
right,
like, you've never been to a major city, like, you have no idea.
Like, and let's not forget, it was, like, back in the 70s, like, people don't even have, like, internet or that
just,
sort
like,
of thing.
Yeah, you can't just, like, look things up.
No,
like,
no. Definitely not.
Yeah. You so always literally have that. Is, like, movies are all you know of New York, and it's like, Paris. And
But that was, it was fun.
Yeah.
Right.
So, how was school in London?
Was
first off, I mean, you went there and you obviously fell in love with London quite a bit. Was it very different from, as Chinese, coming from Chinese culture to just like the general way of life?
Well, I have to say this as, like, I didn't find it quite difficult to blend in, to be fair. And, like, I did, like, study programs, like, with the British students, like, in high school and everything.
Oh, okay.
So, and you do get that sort of, like, obviously you didn't live in London.
Yeah.
So, there's gonna be differences.
Yeah.
And I think the good thing about me was I wasn't expecting too much from it. Mm-hmm. And also, I know there's the fact that there's gonna be, like different culture bases, like you come from different cultures, you've got like, you definitely get like a different way of thinking.
Yeah.
And I realized the fact that even though I was quite young and, but I was sort of like expecting that.
Yeah.
So I sort of like opened back my mind saying like, okay, I don't really see
those.
You're
aware there's cultural difference.
I was really aware of like, I don't want to be like one of those and be like, oh yeah, they do things differently here. But I was more like I was looking for the differences in a way. Like I wasn't like sort of like denying it or like
you're looking to assimilate to them versus like a lot of people come over and it's like, oh, that's different. I don't like that.
Well,
like,
that's yeah, I know, that's the thing. Like I feel like that sort of I don't know how I'm going to put this, but but that's like sort of like in general direction that I'm heading to, even in terms of with my work and everything.
Yeah.
It's not about culture clashes.
Yeah.
It's not about mixing different cultures rather than understanding each other and understanding different cultures in a way that you don't see the differences or the conflicts or whatever. Or the negatives, rather than looking at the difference in a positive sort of way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like there's out to be differences, obviously.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like a 14-hour trip on the plane, for God's sake. And so why don't you just open up your mind and see, like, different things? Mm. And I feel like that's always been, like, my idea, like, even in terms of, like, creating my little collections or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do is not just, instead of like putting them together or like clashing them, it's about having a different point of view and to understand. And I feel like that's quite important because, I mean, obviously, like over here, horrific news every single day about like what's going on in the world and everything. And I feel like there's definitely sort of misunderstanding going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the minority. That's definitely like a huge issue.
Yeah.
And but I know that's gonna take decades to sort of like, I'm not saying like fixing it or correct it, but like it's like to take people like to understand the fact.
Well, I mean that's like you know, with technology it's so easy for cultures to connect now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is definitely changing people.
It
like,
is.
They're growing up even from like small towns, but knowing of like
as long as it got iPads.
Yeah. I mean, it was really interesting. It's funny, like, for me, in America, like, I lived in a suburb of New Jersey growing up. And, of course, like, since I can, long as I can remember, sushi was, like, a food we had.
Right.
And then when I went to Japan, like, 5-6 years ago, people were like, oh, you've eaten sushi before? Like, Japanese? Like, yeah, we have it, too. Like,
yeah.
And it's just, like, they're shocked that it's, like, yeah, that's a thing. And then, like, nowadays, like, but it was, like, basically sushi and American Chinese food, and that was about it. But nowadays, like, now, like, Korean food is pretty, like, common amongst most cities. And Vietnamese food is very common. It's like, these things are just spreading and becoming more and more common. So
yeah.
I'm sure, like, the next generation, these cultural differences are, like, blending a lot more because of technology. It just gets out there. Like, it's so easy to, without even going there.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting issue because obviously, like, the world is changing and even way more faster than before.
Yeah.
But then you definitely hear, like, especially from, like, certain generations, like, they're worrying about, like, the cultural independence and, like, globalization,
the culture,
that sort of things. But I don't know, like, iPhone is quite... I mean, everything's moving on. Yeah. Everything's changing.
Well, I think what you said about growing up in Nanjing was a good example of, like, you know, a lot of people don't say we need to, like, ignore the history. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can't just be like, no, that's how it is. Like, the history is like, okay, so all new art is like, no, we like to do that. It's like, no. Take that history. Know it. Like, it's good to learn it. But then, like, you know, update it, like,
yeah.
Bring that into the new instead of just making the same traditional over and over and never changing.
Exactly. But I guess there's different, like, you definitely need certain people who's more, like, traditional in a way to sort of, like, keep the culture going
on. Yeah, you don't want it to die.
And a bit, like, in an authentic sort of way.
Yes.
And, but at the same time... I'm just saying that there's got to be a balance between these two.
It should influence.
Exactly.
But not
and that's quite, like, that's not even just for, like, the creative industry. Mm-hmm. That's for, like, all the, I feel
cultural,
like, the,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a, yeah. Like, in general. And everything's moving on. Everything's changing.
So, why did you decide to come back to China? Did you have to, or did you wanted to... You were done with London?
Yeah, that was actually a delicate question. I think it's a bit 50-50.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows it's quite difficult to, like, get a job, like, in London. Mm. If especially, I'm not saying, like, it's difficult, like, just in fashion, but then
yeah.
It is, that's the only thing that I know.
Yeah.
And
just in general, a lot of places, it's...
It is, it's really...
Outside of being a student...
It's so
having a job, like being sent from a company, it's very hard to move somewhere.
I know.
And legally get work.
Legally, yeah,
yes.
That's the word. I mean, I've worked nearly all the way through my uni.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's that, like, I like always had, like, internships.
Oh, cool.
At the same time as like a part time job,
yeah.
Like to get some money, and I'm doing uni at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been, like, quite packed for me, so I didn't really realize I've got this sort of, like, an issue, like,
mm-hmm.
right after uni, because you know, like, when you're living there, like, you don't really see the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got, like, 3 years of visa, 4 years of visa, I don't have to care about that now.
Yeah.
But then after that, like, I was, like, looking for jobs, and then obviously been to, like, some interviews and stuff, and I actually got, like, quite good feedback.
Okay.
Like, I'm confident, like, I've always been confident with certain area of my work and
yeah.
everything, so I was like, yeah, I don't think I have to worry about that. but once you get into the reality, like, even though, like, there's companies, like, they're saying, like, oh, yeah, you're really great, like, we want to hire you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even, like, as a trial, but we can, like, sort of, like, just, like, oh, we're going to pay you for
yeah.
doing things and blah, blah, blah. And that was the time that they realized I was hiding, like, a Chinese passport.
Yeah.
And it was so weird because they were just like, we definitely don't want this to come across as like a discriminatory sort of issue.
Yeah.
But it is really difficult to get, like, a working
yeah,
visa
yeah,
for,
yeah.
like, a foreigner
yeah.
in
I was
London.
Gonna say, like, that can be a major problem for
it is.
Work. Because companies, it's like not only the struggle of going through work visas, and then I'm sure China is, like, adds another level of like,
yeah. I mean,
difficulty.
Especially, like, when the fashion industry is not, like, I mean, it's still really exciting.
Mm.
But at the same time, it doesn't make any money, like, especially
yeah.
in London.
Yeah.
And most of the companies that I apply for, or the most of the companies that you can apply for, are, like, medium-sized or even, like, small studios.
Yeah.
And they definitely don't have, like, authority to, like, apply for, like, a working visa for,
mm-hmm.
like, international talents.
Yeah.
And at the same... so that was a bit of a shame.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for the last... 2 years, I think, when I was living there, like, I realized that problem, like, that was, like, around that time,
yeah.
like, I started, like, thinking about, like, I'm probably going to move back to China,
yeah.
like, once I finished my uni, like,
yeah.
like, my degree, so that was the time I started, like, to pick up, like, loads of different jobs and
yeah.
work with different people, sorry, and that was a good experience for me, because it is... even though it's not, like, making any money, like, in London, like,
yeah.
it's in the whole industry, but still, it's, like, a mature sort of system going
mm-hmm.
on there. And that definitely gives me a lot of, like advantage
yeah.
after moving back, like,
yeah.
moving back to Shanghai.
So now that you're back in Shanghai,
mm-hmm.
for a few years. Were you, I don't know much about it, but were you kind of disappointed or shocked by like what the current fashion industry is?
Right.
Here? Like not even just technical wise, but just like the trends. I mean, China's not quite the like, fashion capital of the world, but it's
not yet
growing. Yeah, it's a big growing market in Shanghai and Beijing, I would assume. Was it kind of hard to come from London back here?
It might sound a bit of a cliche, and everybody says that, and but I was actually scared and excited about coming to Shanghai. It's because, I mean, obviously, like I'm not saying like I'm an alien to this city because my mom's from Shanghai, like originally. So like we used to like travel to Shanghai when I was a kid, and so I kind of know the city, but not much. Like, but I know what I sort of knew like what was going on here.
Yeah.
But in terms of it, like you said, like because I'm gonna come back to work, so I have to look at like the whole industry and everything. Yeah. But even like 2 years ago, like there's so many. Sort of like a fashion venues, even though like the fashion week's always been around, but the latest, like the current generation of the designers are literally just booming out like for a couple of years recently, which was really exciting to see, because even though in terms of their marketing sense or their brand values, all that sort of like commercial thinking of the brands or whatever is not mature enough to compare to the international brands or even like some of the British local brands or whatever.
I think that's, I mean, in most markets I've seen here, like that's a big thing, which is, you know, modern Shanghai, modern Shanghai especially has like so much money. So a lot of like the big name Western stuff kind of like started these scenes per se. Like obviously like Chinese have been doing it, but like I would guess fashion, like the big names, like the big, not boutiques obviously, like the big fashion houses came in because people are like, oh, we want fashion, but it's like, no, you want luxury. But now people have like, that's come and settled. Now people can be like, oh no, like let's have like real designers like, pushing. And
I mean, to be fair, like for me, there's always going to be a starting point. And I see this not as a sort of like a negative sort of situation, because I know this is how you're going to go through as a whole process of people getting to know what is going on and get to know some basic information, starting from the very basics, from the massive names for the huge names. And then they're going to starting to understand fashion is not just about wearing beautiful clothes, having this outfit or whatever. It's about, you have to look at like the, like what's behind the brands as well. What are they standing for? You don't buy, you don't necessarily buy clothes because they're pretty or they suit your like aesthetics. Probably you're supporting some of the ideas.
It doesn't just have to have a big LV on it.
Yeah, so exactly.
Other people can be like, oh, I know that brand.
So I see things are changing. It's definitely different from like decades ago. That I can remember before I left, and which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what is quite challenging is it is yet a mature market in terms of like even for the clients and other people out there, they don't necessarily look into certain brands as a personality rather than just, you know, pretty fabric with a pretty bead.
Yeah.
And that's not just it. And that's not how, I mean, I do find it's kind of not even just me, like most of my like schoolmates, like they're all from like, cause UL like support, like London College of Fashion is part of UL. They also got like Central St. Martin's as well, which is like amazing college for like fashion students. And so all my friends are from like from either of the schools, like we found it's quite, there's a gap as in intellectual thinking, and in terms of like when you're building up your own brands or your own labels, like the way people don't necessarily get the way you are thinking.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to be like a long-term issue, because that definitely takes certain time to sort of, in a way, educate your clients and to understand what your aesthetic is, Like, what where do you draw your inspiration from? It's not just simply, as people think, like, it's probably just, like, one pretty picture, yeah. one pretty photo, or just a film. It's about who you really are, and why do you like this photo, yeah. and what do you want to sort of, like, send out as an information mm-hmm. to your clients.
Behind it than just
exactly.
Visual.
And I feel like, but in terms of, like, I mean, obviously, like, that's that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a good thing because especially for, like, people are making, like, all these, like, creating all these new brands,
mm-hmm.
establishing their identity and everything, it is way easier because it's a blanket. Like, yeah. this is, like, it's a blank.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, literally,
good
like...
time to be...
Exactly, yeah, waiting for you to draw on the foot, like, to paint mm-hmm. a picture for them.
Yeah.
And it's definitely to get, like, the first hand, to be the first hand, yeah. I mean... And so it is like challenging, but at the same time, it's definitely exciting
yeah.
to work in the industry in Shanghai.
From people you've seen, like emerging fashion brands, etc.
Right.
Does China have, you know, do they seem to be more of like a Western influence with what I see is even like with like the modern new stuff is a lot more high end, like. Chic, you know, fashion, or do you think they're heading towards more of like a the rest of Asia, like Korea and Japan, which though they have that and that's a major industry, they also are like very big in the creative, like the I guess like what you would say is like well, I'm completely blanking on the word, like out of the box,
sort of like
you've seen
new
like,
genre for
yeah,
like Chinese
like,
fashion.
Cannot think of the word. Like, it's totally blank here. It's like such a
I get what
word.
You're saying.
It's like though. A, you know, just like weird and like creative versus like a high-end chic. Because like Japan obviously has like a lot of that, but it also has very colorful, very like silhouette weird things. And then like in the West, you don't find it a lot until more recently, like someone like Jeremy Scott like has kind of brought that into the... mainstream
right.
and he's like huge in Asia because like people love that and like Korea and Japan all the bootleg stuff is
yeah.
like and even just like high-end versus I guess like casual streetwear like here there's a ton of it but it's all fake bootleg like you know all Taobao'd like
yeah.
Jeremy Scott and stuff like that like is there a lot of that here or is it a lot more like high-end boutique
I would say
like, that. That was kind of long-winded. I don't know if like that made any sense.
I get what you're saying. I feel like China is definitely one of the
avant-garde,
unique.
That's the word.
Oh, there you go.
That's why I was like, God, it's so common. I just can't think of the word. Sorry.
Fashion lesson 101.
Yeah. Like, art 101. It's just like I'm gonna kill myself. When I do this.
But yeah, you can cut it out. But yeah. I feel like China is definitely has its uniqueness
mm-hmm.
in a way, not just in terms of the taste, but in terms of the market itself, because
yeah.
that's what I've been working mostly with nowadays. Like
yeah.
instead of design, like I'm looking like the marketing and branding of the brand, the fashion brands,
yeah.
all that sort of things. And China's definitely unique because it has a huge population base.
Huge.
And in terms of the percentage of different, let's say, classes,
yeah.
even though it's not a thing in China, but there are classes,
of course, yeah.
or like different tastes, different jobs, different like different occupations
yeah.
that sort of like drives into different like aesthetics or that sort of things. That's still like even for the minority
mm-hmm.
clientele, is a massive base as
yeah.
well. But that's the interesting part because there's so many brands like out like in like the British brand or there's so many upcoming like
mm-hmm.
brands from New York as well are actually like they are aware by the Chinese youngsters
yeah.
nowadays like from people around me.
Uh-huh.
Obviously they are the ones who's like chasing the
yeah.
fashion or whatever, like chasing the trend.
Uh-huh.
They know what exactly is going on at the moment. And even for that, like, obviously, we call that, like, it's a minority, but that's still, like, a huge base in China,
yeah.
like, in terms of, like, the amount of people.
Mm.
And so I guess that's the the valuable side of the market. Yeah. But then, as you said, with that, even like that's also sort of like challenging because you've got so many people here, so everyone's got their own stories. Yeah. That's going to affect their aesthetics and their taste in terms of their buying behaviors as well, mm-hmm. and what they like and what they don't like. And that, I guess that's definitely going to take longer mm-hmm. for the Chinese market yeah. to sort of like grow into like a certain unique genre in terms of the style mm-hmm. or in terms of the personality
yeah.
because there's so much things going on. They got like the information from other countries, from all over the world. They also got their, obviously they're building up their sort of like national confidence mm-hmm. in a way.
Yeah.
That in terms of like their own styles,
yeah.
so that's going to be a lot of things happening, mm-hmm. and that's going to be so many different, like different styles probably yeah. you're never going to see before, like happening in China.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you don't necessarily find them tempting in a way. Like even like if you get onto like Weibo, like the local news yeah. or like the local internet influencers. Yeah. You're going to see there's so many weird stuff going on. Like, I was so shocked, like, when I first moved back here. Yeah. Like, I didn't realize, like, obviously, I knew, like, the Weibo, like, the social network uh-huh. is, like, crazy yeah. everywhere, obviously. But I didn't realize it was that crazy.
Yeah.
Like, even for, like, a little online, what they call, like, Wanghong.
Yeah.
Like, internet, like, celebrity or whatever.
Yeah.
They've got, like, millions of followers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a big thing just to explain. People don't understand. A big thing here with marketing is they call them KOLs, and it's like key opinion leaders. And it's mm-hmm. Like people have, you know, it's basically like a YouTube personality or a Twitter personality. And these people are so popular that they've become their own like marketing, like they're an asset. Oh, I mean, it's definitely. The same way, I guess, like celebrity in the States, like you'd have a Kendall Jenner, like you'd pay her hundreds of thousands of dollars to take an Instagram photo with mm-hmm. this brand. And they have people here that are just like some girl who does fashion videos. But because there's so many people in China, yeah. it's like, oh, but she also has a fan base of 25 million. It's just like,
exactly. That's yeah. insane. And, but that's also the interesting thing
yeah.
because as in the sort of the image that we had as in China had yeah. before was a place that you don't really have any freedom, you can't
yeah,
really
yeah.
do any free speeches,
a lot of people still have that
yeah but then at the same time, once you live here, especially even though like you live here, but
mm-hmm.
like once you get to know like how what the local life is, like you get to know like what they can see on the internet, yeah. even in top, not even just fashion, like in other subjects mm-hmm. like politics or whatever,
yeah, yeah.
you still see there's loads of different opinions on the internet,
yeah.
and that's definitely major layout
yeah.
for like the modern people, and so that's what I'm saying, like that's the exciting part.
Yeah.
And as in for like what you mentioned before, avant-garde, the different styles,
yeah.
there's definitely things going on. But then I feel like there's definitely a huge bound between culture and economy. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
everybody knows that. And it's only because like obviously China is developing still and it's becoming this sort of a great force internationally.
Yeah.
But then obviously it's not there yet.
Yeah.
It's on its way. So
I think creatively especially, that's like a big thing. Like everyone knows China is like the economy, blah blah blah, but as a creative output, I don't think it's quite getting the
there yet.
Everyone looks at it as like so traditional. Like
mm-hmm.
everyone knows traditional Chinese cultural
yeah.
output, but nobody knows the modern.
The creative sides.
Yeah.
Or they don't really have like a signature.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
the thing. So but like I said, like it definitely takes time.
Yeah.
And also, as I Chinese, like as a Chinese, like local, like I feel like I can see the changes.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's being on the ground. Is definitely changes going on. And I talked to someone the other day, a young guy, and he was talking about like Europe, and I can't remember if he's talking about Berlin or Paris versus like Shanghai. And he's like, oh, you know, like, Shanghai's okay, but there's, like, no culture here, like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, I love being in Paris. It's like, yeah, well, Paris's culture has been around for, like, hundreds of years, even, like, the modern culture, quote unquote. Yeah. It's like, China, like, due to history, like, their culture only goes back, like, a couple decades, like, a few decades, and it's like, you have to give it time.
Exactly. And, I mean, that sort of, like, reminds me of this concern about the industry that obviously, like, fashion is quite, it's sort of like a middle ground between art and the like the commercial side of industry, like the market, because it actually makes money, and obviously for like the people who work in the market, like for like marketing and stuff, they want people to just buy the clothes, they want to drive the sales and everything so they can make the fortune. But at the same time, it worries people that that's only going to send a message of what is out there, what is the appearance that really matters, but what is behind it doesn't. But that is, I don't think that's going to lead you in terms of like a long-term sort of like development in a way that you're going to have. Now, that's the idea of like the bubbles in the markets or whatever, because it's gonna blast like someday. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, you'll always have that. It's, you know, customers will know, like, when it's reached a point where it's like, yeah, it could be the Chinese H&M, but people still know, like, you know, it's the Chinese H&M. Like, it's like, there's no, I'm sure there's some personal behind it, but not much.
I mean, I was just making a joke with one of my best friends the other day. I was just saying, like, imagine, like, after 50 years, oh, well, probably not, like, I'm being too positive, like, probably in 100 years, like, China is gonna be, like, you know, the country, like, everyone wanna come here, it's gonna be, like, the, like, the great, one of the great forces, like, in the world. And imagine that, like, it's because it's really relevant with your, like, economy and everything, and your social status as well.
I mean,
Japan, whatever you do here, people's going to be like, that's the latest trend.
Yeah. And Japan, that's how you're... Japan and Korea, like, Japan a little more, but, like, you know, before 80s, like, didn't have much worldwide culture.
Exactly.
And then Korea now is, like, the new one. And then 10, 20 years, like... China's going to be... There's no reason for China to not be there.
No, like, exactly. So, it's, I mean, you can see, like, that sort of, like, the pattern going
when
on
will,
there.
When will Taobao be bootlegging Chinese stuff? That's when you've hit the point. Which
it's getting there. I feel like it's pretty...
When the Chinese brands are the ones being bootlegged by themselves.
Exactly. So, I feel like that's... I mean, obviously, aesthetically, that's... people always see certain things as pretty, as not pretty, like, you like it or don't like it. But then everybody knows, like, art and aesthetics is not, like, objective. It's more subjective. Like, this is what you think. And even for us, even for, like, the, like, especially for, like, the younger generations, like, you get information everywhere. You get, like, your news from everywhere. So you sort of, like, build up your, like, aesthetics based on not just the Chinese culture, rather than, like, the more international, in a way. Obviously not as, like... I mean, you still got that sort of, like, a heritage within, but at the same time, you, like, you're sort of, like, you're trained to be, like, a more, like, an international person. And so I feel like that affects your sort of, like, way of looking at things as well. And that's sort of, like, explained why there's so many, like, Western, like, influenced looks or, like, fashion going on even in China as well. Because... it's all connected. Yeah. It's with the economies, with the politics, with everything. And that's why we were just saying, like, we're just like, yeah, in like 100 years, like, probably everyone is going to wear, like, what the Chinese wear, because that's going to be the new trend. It's because you've got that certain level of social, like, status that people appreciate. Yeah. And that's what trend is.
Yeah.
And there's so many people, like, struggling, like, some of my friends even, like, around me, struggling with the fact that why there's so many, like, amazing designers out there, why can't I be one of them? Like, I've got amazing work, I like my work, and blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, that's why you have to sort of, like, get yourself involved with a bit of a history, with a bit of, like, what's going on with the like what happened before and what's going on now. It's because not just you make the hero, it's the time makes the hero as well. Yeah. You have to be the exactly right time course, to be yeah. somebody. Mm. So once you realize that, you don't really have to stress yourself out with the idea of like being someone, mm-hmm. but just be yourself. And that was the trouble that I had before.
Yeah.
And at some point, I just, like, out of a snap, like, uh-huh. I just thought it through. I was just like, yes. Like, why do I have to stress myself out of, like, becoming someone?
You're trying too hard to, like, fit in.
Well, everybody like... was, like, back in uni. Yeah. Because it was... You were, like, sort of, like, trapped into that little cage. Uh-huh. You're, like, competing with each other.
Yeah.
But not looking outside. Uh-huh.
And then another big thing, I went to art school. It's probably pretty similar where it's, like... not like cliques, but it is like there's like trends among the groups, and it's just mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, I wanna paint like that. It's like, do you paint like that, or do you want to paint like that because exactly. they're painting like that or whatever? It's like, yeah, like people. I mean, that's kind of the point of it, is like they have the skill and they have an eye, but they don't have like a voice yet mm-hmm. in terms of like what's really them.
Yeah, that sort of answers the question like the Taobao Ho yeah. phenomenon, or even like, not even just Taobao, like some of the, what they call it, the independent designers in yeah. China, that they're quite famous within the industry. And we were just having this conversation last night. We were watching like the latest menswear collection in London. Mm-hmm. There's several new like Chinese yeah. designers like there in mm-hmm. London showing their new collections as well. We're just like, yeah, we've seen that on Instagram. Like he definitely copied that style. Yeah. But at the same time, you have to realize that you're judging people from the point of view of being a designer, but in terms of doing the business,
yeah.
they're probably right. They're probably the smart ones because they know what the trend is.
Yeah.
They don't set up the trend. They're following the trend yeah. really closely, so the customers will understand what they're doing
yeah.
and make the sales. If you think of it that way, then they're not doing anything... not, I think, right or wrong, but they're yeah. not doing anything stupid.
Well, I guess fashion a bit more than fine arts per se, but obviously there's a lot of arts industries where it's like you do need to find that balance of marketing
yeah.
and creativity, and it's like, you know, what are you doing it for? Like, I don't think there's a wrong answer personally. Like, if you're like, oh, well, this is popular right now, I'm going to design this, versus like, I'm going to design this fucking weird hat that I love, but no one's ever going to wear it. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that's good for you. But yeah. like, I would like people to like my stuff. So exactly. maybe I'll tone it down a bit. Like, try to find that middle ground.
Yeah. Just find your spot.
Yeah.
I mean, even for like, you know, one of those designers, like the avant-garde designers, yeah. I feel like they pretty much know, if they're famous enough for
yeah.
people to get to know them, they definitely know their marketing strategy.
Yeah.
Because they're doing that.
But you also need to be like, don't do that and then bitch for the first 10 years. Yeah. It's like, no one likes these. It's like, yeah, you need to get like known a bit first before you can get that crazy, or just like know that.
That's how you that's basically you're gonna like need how to do you it create for 30
years
well.
Before,
yeah.
you know, you get your first customer.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, yeah. once you set your mind into that, then just keep doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter which direction you pick, but you need to know which direction you're going.
Exactly, and keep going that mm-hmm. way. And that's the most important thing. Yeah.
So, Otto the designer,
ooh-hoo.
how would you describe your aesthetic and what your, I guess, what your style is, or even projects you're working on now that you're, you know, what's the road ahead?
Okay, well... I've got several projects going on at the moment. Everything's going a bit slow, as always. And so, as my personal aesthetic, I think, as I mentioned before as well, like, I love different cultures, that's for sure. And I feel like everybody, like most of the people, like most of the designers, like, share the same sort of interest as mm-hmm. well, like, to look at different things. But I think it's the way of thinking and sort of makes you different mm-hmm. as well, because the culture is out there. It's right there. Everybody can look at it.
Yeah.
But then what really matters is how you look at it and how you're going to sort of to play with the elements or whatever that you mm-hmm. see. And I think for me, it's about looking at my culture in a different way, or looking at some certain other cultures in my own sort of, I wouldn't say Chinese way, because I don't think like our generation is like 100% Chinese anymore. Or it's like the new Chinese in a way. And that.
So that's not a problem. I mean, again, I always go back to it, but yeah. Like Japanese has been like such a big fashion culture for so long. But
it,
so much of it post, I mean, their culture in general post like World War II is like bringing in other cultures and making it quote unquote Japanese, but it's kind of like putting a Japanese twist on like Americana,
exactly,
or that sort of thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's exactly what I want to try. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to say. Thank you.
Yeah.
And imagine like it's because I don't necessarily like some certain like Japanese like designer names out there, like as in their style, but I really appreciate the fact how the methods that they put into their designs, the way of thinking. And obviously, like, it takes, like, not, like, more than one person to do that to sort of, like, make it, like, even more stronger as a unique aesthetics, like, towards, like, you know, like, facing the rest of the world. But at the same time, I want to do my part as in looking at, like, our own culture, even, like, sort of, like, a picture of our own culture in a different sort of way, like, looking in a more modern sort of way, and that still with the sense of a heritage, but then with like sort of like finding this middle ground or this connection between different cultures and between different people from different backgrounds, and sort of like give them to make them understand what you're trying to say, and then think most of the like those really famous like Japanese designers out there from the 70s and 80s. Actually did that to sort of like push that idea out there, but in a really compact contemporary sort of way, which is really exciting. But then that has been said, that makes me really like looking forward to see like how the industry is gonna go, not even just fashion, but the creative industry in China in general, that because we've got so much history, we've got so many things that we can use, and none of them, I will say, like, 99% of the history or the culture bits is not being used in a contemporary sort of way. Yeah. And we've, like, we all know that. But then there's going to be, but there's a gap because, like, the younger generation, they don't necessarily look into the history because they love, like, the foreign stuff, they love the Western ideas. And that's going to be generations of work to sort of, like, bring that back, rethinking what you like, what your ancestors have been looking at, what they created, and then do it your own way. But there's definitely people out there doing that, and I want to be part of it.
Yeah, I think a lot of the countries go through that. I mean, it's there's like, and again, China's like the next one where it's like it's been so strongly a traditional culture, and then you want to break out of that, so that like goes the opposite way, which is like 100% modern culture, and then that always even, comes back to doing that, but then don't forget that.
That's a circle, isn't it? And I feel at some point that's even more difficult than building up something out of nowhere, because you have to break certain rules, and it's not even just rules like on the paper, it's something like in your head. Like, it takes time to sort of to just get over it, basically.
So right now, what would you say there's a trend going on that you absolutely hate?
Oh, yes. don't get me started.
I'd love to get you started. Lighten it up a bit.
Okay. Right.
Whether in China or in
the first thing the that world. Yeah, well, I think it's in China in general, but then it definitely goes on with other brands, like even London, like it was like the collection that I just saw before. I hate the banners.
The what?
The banners. You know, like with the they put like the print that their little words or slogans or whatever on the on the ribbon or on
like
on
across the collar and
across that
the
like
black shirt, big white text, like all that.
I really don't like that. So I don't know
that
why.
That is one of the things that China is like. So, you know what would be considered streetwear? Just basically just anything modern these days. Like, it was obviously huge in Korea, huge in Japan, like, huge in most of Asia. In the U.S. over the last 10 years, like, hip-hop culture kind of adopted it and is a lot more open to fashion. Mm-hmm. So, like, of course, now youth culture has, like, adopted all these fashion, like, long things, like, drop crotch pants was, like, one of the big first changes, like, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, when something like that hits, like, a Givenchy or whoever was the first to make, like, black shirt with, like, big white text with stars is always, like, fucking four stars. So, anyway, it becomes popular, and then China right now has this, like, bootleg fucking machine that becomes like every person under the age of 30 has this like $3 shirt they bought that's like the Chinese bootleg version of that. So it's just like become like this, like it's like it gets oversaturated so fast. So like the most overplayed trends have now become just like on. You know, you can walk down the street and you'll run into 10 people with the same fucking, like, horrible knockoff of, like, one thing that, like, one...
I know.
Yeah, it's like...
I'm so proud of the fact that I don't have any of those in my closet.
But it's so funny because, like, oh, the first time I was here, me and Beryl did a huge Taobao, like, bootleg shop.
Did you?
Like, you just, like, do that. And it's just, like, you know, like, how many fake Bape sweatshirts can you really have? And it's like,
you do get hooked up on that, don't you?
It's, like, kind of addicting. Yeah. But then you get them all. They're all shitty. And after a month, you, like, never wear it again. But my favorite part that's come out of that also is when I first moved here, I noticed it is, like, there must be so many families that run these weird, like, bootleg Taobao shop. I mean, it used to be, like, there'd be the fake market, and now that's kind of moved to Taobao. And for people who don't know, like, fake market is literally a mall, an entire building that you go to, and it's all stores of every designer you know, but they're all fake. Like, it's like a bootleg market. But my favorite part is, like, you'll see trends, like, when leather pants and like leather joggers became like so popular.
Yeah.
Fucking old lady on the street just has leather joggers because I'm sure like her family just got a bunch of clothes and she doesn't know what they are, but she's wearing it's like I see old ladies in like Givenchy knockoffs and Yeezys, like the whatever's the hot bootleg right now.
Right.
They have them not because they wanted them, but just because like I don't know. Like just like their family got a bunch in that they're going to sell online. And yeah, it's just that. Like, hey, do you need new sneakers?
It's 30 quid.
The amount of 8-year-old women I've seen in Yeezy knockoffs is like absurd. Or just like any, whatever the new hottest, like Adidas, like NMDs, or whatever sneakers, it's like sneaker culture on 8-year-old women. Just because they're all not, anyway.
I saw this old lad like walking down the street with like the Balenciaga sneakers on. I was
That's what I mean. It's just like,
wow. Only in Shanghai.
Yeah. It's like bootlegs, but on like,
I mean, we do, like, make fun of the whole phenomenon, but at the same time, I don't know, like, it still has this, like, positive effect on people, because, obviously, like, there are different crowds, like, looking for different trends, and for, like, the cool, young, new kids, and that's a top secret, by the way, the latest trend is, we go to, like, the massive, like, fabric, it's not even just a market, the fabric town in Guangzhou, in Guangdong, or in somewhere near Hangzhou.
Yeah.
It's the whole town for the fabrics and trimmings and everything. And the latest trend they can find is the rainbow tapes. And that's like more, not in a sort of like a high fashion sort of way, like it's more for like the designers are using that sort of like element, like the rainbow elements going on.
Okay.
So they're sort of pushing in a way, like obviously we understand like what the rainbow is standing for, like for the LGBT group.
Yeah.
But then the general crowd don't necessarily understand that.
Yeah.
Even though, like, you see people, like, holding, like, a rainbow umbrella on the street. Like, they really don't understand it. But then I still believe, in a way, that's going to affect you in the long term. Sort of, like, helping that culture to blending to the majority. And if, for that, like, it was so fun because my friend showed me this photo, like, saying, like, it's like rainbow flags everywhere in a fabric market. That they don't know what that is. It's only because there's so many new designers like doing that.
Yeah,
but they know what exactly is going on.
Well,
they want to do that movement
again.
Thing.
That's what it is. Like these like markets, they just have whatever they're told is like cool right now. So it's like you know they don't know what it comes from. Like a big thing that's still everywhere is who was it? think it was Givenchy also is like the dogs, the like barking dog, like that fucking, the like Rottweiler is like on everything.
I know.
Just like, again, you see old ladies with that shirt.
I wouldn't call it 10 years ago recently, but yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, it's been forever and it's just like, Jesus. Like,
I know. But then that's basically how it works. Like the whole trend goes to, obviously, like the cool kids, even like in tier one cities. I hate to break it down that, but then that's how it works. Like the cool kids in tier one cities, and that's how they set the trend. Mm-hmm. And then they get bored of it like within 10 minutes. And then the wannabes like just join them.
Well, it's the same in the US, and it goes down. But it's just funnier because like in the US, the trend is like usually something way more subtle.
Right.
By the time it gets to like middle America, it's like even more like dumbed down. It's like an army jacket. Versus just like fucking a leather, like can't even like, you know, it's just like so ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably because like even like for the Chinese, it's because it's at this time of developing, like in terms of like everything.
Yeah.
So people don't necessarily, I mean obviously it's not, I'm not saying just this is just like it's only happens in China, it happens everywhere.
Yeah.
But then people are more focusing on their looks, appearance, and how they're seen by other people. So I think that's why the fashion is changing rapidly, like in China at the moment, because...
Well, it's definitely more of a creative, like, when I say creative, I mean like visually, like, interesting, or out of the box, versus, again, just like having...
Even though that's just a side effect.
Having the, like, you know, early 2000s, obviously for a while now, but like early 2000s, that trend of like the common person... Basically, like, on bootlegs, it'd be, like, patterns. Like, the Louis Vuitton pattern, the Coach pattern. It's just, like, these recognizable patterns.
Right.
So that's what all the bootlegs were. It was just, like, put that pattern on anything.
I know.
It's just, like, it doesn't matter what it looks like or what you look like. It's just people can recognize that. But now it's become, like, people are buying knockoffs of big brands because they visually actually like what that big brand looks like or whatever. Like, that's all, like, joggers, like... It's not even what's printed on the, like, drop crotch sweatpant, but it's just that it is that silhouette. Like, that's what they want, so...
So it takes time to sort of, like... That's the whole progress of, like, education.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing.
No.
I just think it's...
Yeah.
It's fun to look at.
It's just funny, though, like, the oversaturation.
Exactly.
Of these things that have gotten, like...
For people who understand what's going on, to see what is... out there and what's happening.
Well, my favorite is maybe you growing up here know a bit more of like the style history behind it, but like my favorite thing is where I work is very Chinese street. It's very like you go from like city to like residential street real fast,
right?
And the amount of like they have to be like 40s like middle-aged guys in like they have, like, the jogger sweatpants, and then they... It's, like, the Chinese guy who wears, like... He's not in shape, and he has, like, a skin-tight, like, faux silk t-shirt on, like, with the chain, like, with, like... I don't know what the pattern... But it's just, like...
Wait, was it back home?
No, here.
Oh, right, I was gonna say.
Like, Chinese Jesus. Guys, it's, like, the skin-tight silk shirt that's, like, got pattern all over it is, like, a very, like... Chinese thing, and I don't know like how to describe it to like.
I mean, to be fair,
I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know, I definitely do. But then to go a bit deeper, I mean, it happens everywhere.
Yeah,
like it's just like when you, like in the States, when people are like, yeah, he's probably from South. It's the same thing like that. Like when you see people walking down the street and be like, oh yeah, he's probably up from North. That's what they say. I mean, like obviously not in an offensive sort of way, but it's like taking. You know, take
it's
the
just like
of
a style. That's great. So I think that's good. I mean, we've gotten to know you, Otto.
Great.
Is there websites or something you want to promote? You seem like you might actually have some things to.
I mean, I don't.
Things people can look out for. Where to find Otto?
I don't constantly update my Instagram, but I still try to do like once a week, which is a lot for me. Like I don't live on Instagram, but I still do it. So.
How do you even use Instagram?
That's the method you can find down Baidu.com. Not even Google.
Yeah.
If you guys like interested in to look at my work or you're intrigued by my voice, you want to look at my photos, Don't be disappointed. You can follow me on Instagram, and simply as Otto Som, OTTOSOM.
Great.
There you go.
And thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Lovely. That girl is a tomboy. That girl is a tomboy. Who that is, ho? That girl is a tomboy. That girl is a tomboy. That girl is a tomboy. He's so in love, he think it's a spell. His love is too magic and he cannot tell. He fuck with my bro, how my pussy is spelled. My thought was special, got locked like a jail. It's Polo, it's Tommy, it's Mecca, it's Naughty. I'm finna sit back and just sip on Bacardi. You come to my party, you go me my army. A room full of girls and we acting real rowdy.